Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
We've all heard about the 80-20 rule in business, right? Find that 20% that gives you the 80% of the results. These are our leverage points, and we can use them to grow our businesses in 2017. Snappa was built for us. Entrepreneurs who want to stand out this year, but also want to harness the power of the 80-20. Snappa was built to be your 20%. Simple graphic design for entrepreneurs to stand out in their marketplace. Go to snappa.io/hack. That's snappa.io/hack. The fastest way for entrepreneurs to create graphics. Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm your host, John Naster. But you can call me Johnny. My guest today is an ethical search engine optimizer, digital marketer, and an entrepreneur. He's launched two startups, had two successful exits, and is now working on startup number three, Checkly. Checkly is a web and mobile app that helps people make and share private or public checklists. With over 275,000 checklists already made and 490,000 tasks completed, Checkly is gaining some serious traction fast and due to my guest's impressive SEO skills, which we will get into in this conversation. Now, let's hack Marvin Russell. I want to take a moment to thank today's sponsor, Snappa, the fastest way for entrepreneurs to create graphics. Getting your business up and running is hard, and growing it is another hurdle altogether. It seems like we never have enough time to do all the things that we know we should be doing in our businesses. The things that matter. The things that will help us stand out and grow. Creating awesome Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Pinterest images can and will allow your business and message to go wide and find your true fans. But creating images that look great and getting shared is hard, and it's time-consuming. Whether you need a blog post image, a social media post, or even a complete infographic, Snappa saves you time every step of the way. Think of how long it took you to create an image for your last blog post. Here's how it works with Snappa. You start with the perfect image dimensions, perfectly sized in one click. Then you get a head start with pre-made templates. Just stop staring at that blank screen. Then you find free high-resolution stock photos right inside of Snappa. Then you add text, graphics, and effects in seconds. Literally, even for somebody like me. Then you schedule and share your graphics instantly on social media, completely without leaving Snappa. Done. Now you get back to running your business. Snappa was built to make graphic design easy for entrepreneurs. Right now, I have a special offer. Go to snappa.io/hack and make 2017 the year you start looking like the real business that you are. Stop wasting time. Use Snappa. Go to snappa.io/hack and you'll get a 14-day free trial without even using a credit card. That's snappa.io/hack. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very, very special guest, Marvin. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's great to be here. I'm excited to talk to you.
Oh, very cool, man. I think the pleasure is all mine, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
So yeah.
Let's jump into it.
Sounds good.
Marvin, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
It's a good question. I'd probably have to say, actually, it rings a bell. It rings a bell to me. It's going to sound very cliche, but it's a Steve Jobs quote. It's that quote where he says, "I'm absolutely convinced that half of all entrepreneurs who are successful because of pure perseverance." And I know it's cliche to quote Steve Jobs, but that is by far the statement that I think about over and over and over again when I think about my success. It's pure perseverance. It's how bad do you want something when, you know, things are down, things aren't going so well? How bad are you willing to push through things? What are you willing to sacrifice? So it's It's really those things. It's really perseverance. It's I'm willing to sacrifice and do whatever it takes, no matter how hard it gets, to accomplish my goals. And from what I've seen, not too many people are willing to do that. And once you're willing to do that, no matter what it takes, or no matter what you have to sacrifice, that's really how I think I've become successful. And I've been able to do what I've been able to do is just pure perseverance.
I love it. I love it. So perseverance. And I think you're right. Like there's all of a sudden this, and I don't know when it happens or if it's like innate within us, but it'd be cool to have your opinion on it. But you're right. When you say that there's that idea of perseverance where you're going to do whatever it takes, it doesn't matter. And there's something about once you've made that shift to that, that's just how you think from now on. And it's never like when things get tough, it's like, maybe I can get a job, or maybe it's like that never kind of crosses your mind. It's like, no, what can I start? What else can I do? And it's a weird thing. Like, is this something that you've sort of innately had within you? Do you think this perseverance and whatever it takes, or is this something that has kind of evolved over time?
It's funny. I really have thought about that a few times. And here's what I think that it boils down to. I definitely think it's inside of you, but I always often wonder back when growing up, I was a small kid. I was, you know, like, I don't know if you've seen the movie Rudy, but I was 5'0", 100 nothing. And the reason why I'm referencing that is because my father was a pretty big football star at Notre Dame. He was a starting middle linebacker for, you know, a national championship team. And growing up, you know, people would always ask me, why aren't you his size, or why are you so small, or whatever the case is. I would get these questions left and right, like, look at your father and then look at you. You're so tiny. And what I was kind of bummed out growing up that I didn't get those natural big size, huge football skills that my father had. I just wasn't the same size as him. I didn't have that crazy animal instinct. But later on, I think in my late 20s, early 30s, I started to ask myself what you just asked me, where do I get this perseverance? And I think maybe that's the thing that I did get from my father. I got that perseverance. I got that no holds barred attitude. I got that never say die attitude. So on one hand, I think that that's something that maybe I inherited from my father. Like when you're a linebacker for Notre Dame and you're on a championship team, I mean, you have to have laser focus. You have to be in the weight room. You have to never give up. You have to work harder than anybody else out there to get to that point. And I started to dawn on me that maybe I did get something from my father. It might not have been the weight. It might not have been the athletic skills, but maybe I got that passion, that perseverance, that never say die attitude. And that's kind of where I think it comes from. But at the same time, I don't want to discourage anybody thinking that, well, it has to be passed down to me. Because I believe that only half as much. I only think that's half the reason why I am the way I am. The other half is just, you know, it's truly what's inside of me that I think I want to be successful more than the next person. And that's just that desire, that back to that perseverance.
Wow. So you want to be, yeah, because it's like hearing you go through this, it seems like it could have went two ways, right? Like your dad's super into football and driving, like built like a football player, and then you're not. Some people would take that as like, well, I'll never be whatever. I wasn't born with the skill, and like could go down like a terrible road following that, as in like, I just wasn't born to be whatever. You know what I mean? But I love your mindset of it. It was just like, you just have to focus and like work harder. And that's what, to me, that's what it takes. And that's, I love that. And I think so many people, I think somehow diverge at that point and maybe go the other direction than yours. So to say it's innate within you, I guess it is, but also it's just taking you just kicking ass yourself a lot.
Yeah. I also believe, I'm a firm believer. I mean, I'm a firm, huge, insanely big believer in take responsibility and no excuses. Like I live and die by those two phrases. Like everybody on this planet, I believe, should take responsibility for themselves and never make excuses. And when I talk to other entrepreneurs, I know some people call them, you know, entrepreneurs, but when I talk to other people who want to be entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs, I hear the same thing over and over again. They're not willing to make sacrifices. They're not willing to, you know, when I first did my first entrepreneurial project, I had a regular full-time job. And after I got home from my job, I would stay up till 4 a.m. learning this new skill, this new trade to start my own company. Every day I would stay up till 4 a.m. I did whatever it takes. I got 2 or 3 hours of sleep. I just wanted it that bad. And what most people see from most people is they say they want it, but they don't want it bad enough. So the other mantra I live by is, how bad do you want it? I almost I literally almost got a tattoo of that one day when I was walking by a tattoo parlor, because I think about that phrase so much, as how bad do you want it? And that's really what it boils down to. And like, I've talked to people and they say, yeah, I want to do this and I want to do that. And then I ask them, like, well, are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to not buy a house at 28, 29, when all your friends are looking to be very successful with their houses, their wives, and all that stuff? Are you willing to sacrifice all those things? Maybe even, you know, be dirt poor for a few years, do whatever it takes to get to that next level of successful entrepreneurship. And it just, the bottom line is, most people aren't willing to do that. And once you know and understand the level of sacrifice you have to make, that's the first step, understanding that level of sacrifice. And that's what I learned, luckily, early on, is you just have to sacrifice. And when your friends are going out for beers, I was, you know, at home on my computer reading everything I could about starting my first business.
Oh man, I totally lived this too. I think we all have. I spent 7 months for my first business to like working all day and then like put my kid to bed, who was tiny at the time, and then like work till 3 at night every single night for seven months. And people are just like, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" But now it's funny, because right before we started this conversation, you're like, "Oh, I'm going to Nashville for a month to live in an Airbnb with my wife," and like, we're coming. All these things that you can do now that people are like, "Oh, you're so lucky." It's like, well, did you forget that time back then when I did what it took and you didn't?
Yeah,
it's funny how that works.
Yeah, it reminds me of a quote. I know I'm full of quotes. It reminds me of a Samuel Goldwyn quote. I think it goes something like, "The harder I work, the luckier I get."
Yeah, luck comes to those who really, I think, go after it.
Exactly.
But can you take us back to this? Let's talk about this first business. So you said you had a full-time job and you came up with an idea for a business somehow. I'd like to hear that story. And then how long did it take you of working those nights till 4 a.m. until you not only launched the business and got it going, but then you could actually get rid of your full-time job?
Yeah, absolutely. So I graduated college in, I think, 2003. And then I was one of the first 30 people at CareerBuilder. Man, CareerBuilder was a job board, one of the new online digital job boards. You know, it was up there competing with Monster. And that was really our goal, is to take down Monster and be a bigger, better version of Monster. Anyway, 6 months there, and I was, you know, my first year out of college, 6 months into it, I had made more money than I've ever made. I was on the sales side of things. I think after about 6 months of working there, my last paycheck stub said $33,000 thus far year to date. So I was on pace to make 70 grand. Half of it was in commission. The other half was base salary. So I was super happy. I was first year out of college, never made any money in my life. But at the same time, they were doing things. And that's a great company. It was voted one of the best companies to work at in 2003, 2004. So it was a great company. So don't get me wrong. But some of the things that we had to do, like be at work at 7 a.m. And sometimes if you left at like 5 p.m. right on the nose, they would take note of that and you would be penalized or spoken about by the managers and you'd kind of be pushed out. I saw friends being pushed out that left at 5 o'clock every day. So you had to be there at 7 a.m. And if you left anytime before 7 p.m., so you had to be there around, you know, 10 or 12 hours to really make it. If you weren't putting in that much time, you just weren't going to, you're going to be pushed out of the company. And I started to think about it in my months that I was there. And I told myself, I can't do this for another 45 years. There's just no way. I'm not waking up at 5 a.m. every day, getting to work by 7 a.m., working my butt off, and then being afraid to leave before 7 p.m. because I'm afraid of what my boss thinks. Even though, you know, at the time I was probably one of the top salespeople. I was one of the top producers. My numbers were all above everybody else, but that didn't matter. I wasn't being judged only by productivity. I was also being judged by how long my butt was in the seat, which I hated. I absolutely hate, and I hate to this day. I don't judge any of my employees by how long they sit in their seat or sit at their cubicle or whatever the case is. I judge them by productivity, and that's the opposite of what was happening at CareerBuilder. So anyway, so while I was there, this is 2003, 2004, I had dabbled in web design and SEO and digital marketing in college. And here's an interesting story. I remember a friend of a friend came over and we were having some beers. This was halfway through the 6 month period I was at CareerBuilder. And he mentioned to me that he was building a website for a band, building a website for somebody else, and building. Anyway, he had started a small business and he was building all these websites for people. And this guy was kind of a goofball, kind of not the smartest guy in the room, but I looked at him and I was like, if this guy can do that, I've built a few websites for family and stuff like that in college. If this guy can do it, I can do that. And one thing I learned that moment was that entrepreneurship is super contagious, right? I heard this guy talking about building websites on his own, not really going to work every day. And I was hooked. So I started reading more about it, what it took to create an LLC in Illinois. It was super easy. Anybody can just Google what it takes to open an LLC. Then I started, and literally we started to, me and my roommate at the time, who turned out to be my business partner, we started just calling people in the phone book that didn't have web addresses next to their address. And this is the era of phone books, obviously 2003, 2004. And I think literally the first person we called said, yep, sure, we need a website. Yeah, you want to build this one? Stop by. Well, you know, let's talk about it. And we sold that, I think it was an attorney here in Chicago. And from then on out, we figured out that action was really just the most important thing, is taking that initial action. We just opened up the phone book and started calling, and it worked. And then, I don't know, within a couple of years, well, let me back up just a moment. I quit my job a couple of months later, went from making what I was probably going to make was about 70 grand. The next year, my first year building websites and things like that, I made 15 grand. So I went from 70 to 15. And I promise you, I promise everybody that's listening, I could not have been happier. I was super insanely happy making $15,000 a year. It was fantastic, because what I was getting was my freedom. And I figured out very soon that freedom was a little bit more important than money. Well, a lot more important, I should say. So that's kind of, you know, fast forward a few years later, I had 30 employees on Michigan Avenue in the nicest part of Chicago, in the heart of the business district, working with some of the biggest brands in the world within the next few years. So it all just started with just opening up a phone book and just making a few phone calls. And literally that action, just starting, is what triggered my success and got me started.
I love this. There's a couple of really, really cool things in here. That first one is what you just reemphasized, which is picking up the phone and taking the action, especially with like digital entrepreneurship, right? Like, through, like, you want to build websites and you want to create this sort of digital company. Most people, I think, want to do that because they think that they can avoid like having to make that sale, right? It's like, if I just put up a good enough sales page, I don't have to ever talk to anybody, and it'll just, but picking up the phone and like making that call, like, it's funny that it's almost called like old school business tactics now,
right.
But it works so friggin' well.
Yeah. It's just, it's action. People, I see that a lot too. I mean, people do just put up websites and they expect magic to happen and people just to come to their website and all of a sudden now they're successful. They're going to be an entrepreneur and all these things, but you're right. Without action, you're not going to get that reward.
Exactly. Exactly. And then you said that you started this first company with a roommate who was then your business partner.
So yeah, things didn't work out too well with that. I mean, I made a huge mistake early on this company was very successful. It was called The Ocean Agency and actually was acquired from me in 2014 by a much bigger company here in Chicago. And it was very successful acquisition. But early on, I made a mistake of partnering with the wrong person. And the first sign that it was a mistake was that I partnered with somebody who could do exactly what I could do, right? So that was my mistake number one. So I was really super great at sales and communication and marketing, and he was really, really good at sales and marketing and things like that. So we did the exact same thing. And when you're starting a digital type company, it's better to get somebody who can do what you can't do. Neither one of us were developers. So my biggest regret, we bumped heads a lot early on, and we both were doing the same thing. What I would have done differently, I'm not knocking this person as a person, but what I've done differently is partnered with a tech person who was a little bit more tech savvy than I was and could do the tech things that I couldn't do, which later on for my second startup that I built, that's exactly what I did. So I learned from my first mistake, you know, always partner with somebody you can't do. It's easy to just get your buddy involved and say, hey, do you want to partner on this project and take some of the workload off me? But really what you should be thinking of is, can that person that I'm partnering with do something that I can't do, and can they bring that to the table, and can we be successful like that?
Yeah, I love it. And that's totally true. Like having the partner who's this, but also it was action, right? Like that was your roommate, and it was just like, it's rather than overthinking it, and you can look back and be like, well, I could have done that better. But I mean, it ended up as a successful acquisition. It got you started and moving in the right direction. So really,
yeah, absolutely.
So yeah. Really, I mean, it's the next time you just knew not to do that again. So then your next company was?
It was MySite Auditor. So really I was running this agency and I had, you know, a team full of employees, but what I figured out quickly, after a few years was that some of the same traps that I was avoiding in corporate America, I was creating for myself at the Ocean Agency, right? So I have an agency, I have, you know, a bunch of employees, I have a ton of business all around the country and some other parts of the world. And I had to be there early and stay there late. And I had to be involved in a lot of different aspects of the business to make sure the business was running right. So I had entrapped myself and created the same type of jail cell that I was trying to avoid in corporate America. So again, I found myself kind of unhappy. I was making a ton of money. I had take whatever days off I wanted. I have to be there every day, but I was there every day because I was the best one at closing business deals. I was the best one at making these type of decisions. I was kind of poor at delegating responsibility, and I was, you know, I'm still kind of a control freak, and I'm worried that things wouldn't go well unless I was there. So again, you know, I found myself trapped in this entity that I didn't want to be in. So one thing, so my side auditor came about where I noticed a major gap, a major problem, a major piece of software that was missing in my agency that I needed. And that was a website auditing software that I could install on my website. So when people came to our agency's website, I wanted them not to just rely on our contact form, but also be able to use a free website analysis tool where they could just pop in their website address, pop in a keyword they're trying to rank for or something like that, hit scan in 30 seconds, they would get the a big audit. So we built that, put it on our website, and we required that the people who use it put in their name, email, and phone number, and, you know, they got an awesome, amazing audit within 30 seconds. Well, we went from getting one or two leads a week to like 20 or 30 a day, right? So it was insane how many people were using this free audit tool. So we were like, all right, we have something here. So fast forward about a year later, we had built this piece of software on its own website address, its own app, and then we allowed other agencies to white label it and embed it on their website. So what we did was we created an interactive piece of content that agencies all around the world, we were in 20 different countries, agencies all around the world could literally and just copy and paste and embed on their website. And therefore, they wouldn't have to rely on their contact form when people went to their website. People would go to their website and say, oh, okay, we're at XYZ agency in Sydney, Australia, and I can either fill out their contact form, which most people don't do, or I can use this really cool, awesome website analysis tool. And we had our members, our agencies all around the world, go from 2 or 3% max conversion rates to like 20%. I mean, they were getting so many leads that it was just unbelievable because we gave people something in exchange for their contact information. And that really just took off. And just this past summer, big firm came along and acquired it. It was, you know, 20 different languages around the world. We blew up. It was amazing, super fun, super great experience. And then, like I said, it was startup number two that got acquired.
That's awesome. I love it. So it didn't start out as a business. It started out as like a customer sort of acquisition tool or lead generation tool.
Exactly.
And then once it takes off, you're like, well, there it is. Like, it's right in front of you. Like, we have to just actually make this its own thing. And now that's two acquisitions, and now you have another business.
Yeah, this is like probably when most entrepreneurs say, oh, this is my baby. Well, this one is my baby. I hesitate to say that because you don't want to be attached to it, but this one is my passion. This is one that I've loved for a long time. It's something personal to me. It's what you mentioned earlier. It's Checkly.com. And really what it is, it started off as just simple checklist software application online. That's really all it started off as. For as long as I can remember, I've had severe ADHD and it's hard for me to focus and it's hard for me to remember things. And even if you don't have ADHD, the human brain just isn't built to remember more than four or five items at a time. That's why when you go to the grocery store, you forget milk. You knew you were going there for it. You picked up four or five other things, but you forgot the main thing that you came for. And it's just because most 99% of, unless you're a savant, right? 99% of people just simply forget more than four or five items at a time. Our brains aren't built to remember those things. So the checklist is one of the most simplest and one of the most important tools on the planet. And what I really did was I just kind of harnessed it into one app and I stripped it down, made it ultra simple. and then optimize the hell out of it. And now if you type in, now it does a few other things, and I'll clarify it in a second, but now if you type in the word like list maker in Google, or checklist maker, or just the word checklist, we come up number one, number two, and number three. And we have about 50,000 members all around the world right now, and getting 40 or 50 new ones a day. And they say the same thing over and over to me. And the reason why I love your app, I love your tool, is because of how simple it is. So my goal was to, instead of adding features to make the app cooler, my goal is to remove features to make the app simpler. You know, like, I don't want a feature staring my customer in the face all day, every day, when they would only use that feature maybe once a year or something like that. So my goal was to remove as many features as possible from this. So fast forward a little bit, we launched the web app. It's extremely successful. Then last year in April, we launched the iOS app. I'm a member of 1871, which is an incubator startup place here in Chicago. It just kind of like meet people. It's a networking place. And I met a small iOS app team that was just getting off the ground, and they literally built my app for a couple of $1,000s. It was really great, really simple. So there's people out there that can do that. For the people who are listening, thinking like, I'd never afford an app or build an app, you just got to find people who are hungry and young like you are in the industry and just want to get some experience or get a couple of projects under their belt. So anyway, so now we have the web app, which is extremely popular, the iOS app. And we just last month hired our first full-time software engineer that is now, we're almost done relaunching our brand new massive platform, which has it still has the checklist application for consumers, but it also has a pro version for businesses. And what the pro version allows our businesses to do is brand these checklists with their logo, their colors, their contact info, all that stuff, and share those checklists with the world. So think of a medium, but for checklists, right? So you can go to a Checkly, you can either, you know, find a checklist or you can create a checklist. And if you're a business, you can brand that checklist, hit the share button and share it with the world. I think the best example was a guy from Oregon that worked at a tourist company in Oregon said, wait, you mean that I can create checklists about different places and different things to do in Oregon, add our Oregon, Visit Oregon branding all over it, and then share them on Facebook, share it on Twitter, share. And that's exactly what you can do. So for people, it's a really easy way to stay organized. For businesses, it's a super simple way to create content and share that content in the form of a checklist with the world.
I love it. So you just hired a full-time developer. So we know how you created the iOS app. When you came up with an idea for checklists, and I agree that they're super important, but what was the process like of your thoughts of, first of all, how am I going to get a first version built?
Yes.
And then also, at what point did you think, like even before starting, what was like the horizon like for monetization? Or was that even important at the beginning?
Well, the cool thing is that right now, because I just sold my last company, is I don't have to worry about monetizing the company just yet. Trying to get some investors now involved, and they're going to definitely not agree with that. They're going to want to make money. So right now I'm not worried about monetization, but I do have a monetization, you know, plan for revenue channels. But to back up how I got started with this is, it's really simple. I think, you know, just knowing a couple simple tricks of the trade, you know, I'm in the industry, so I know how to get things done for really cheap. And, you know, for the listeners who have never done this before, I spent probably, I don't know, $500-$600 just getting a basic checklist app tool up and running on, at the time I owned checklistpal.com. And then I moved over to Checkly when I bought that domain. It's just a domain that just popped up and I found it and I bought it. But anyway, it was really checklistpal.com. But at the time I went on elance.com, which is now called upwork.com, UPWORK. And really all Upwork is, for people who aren't familiar with it, it's a way to connect with freelancers all around the world. And a lot of these freelancers are in India, are in Pakistan, are in China, are in Russia. And the cost of living for those guys are a lot cheaper than it is here in the United States. And they, you know, for $10 or $15 an hour, I had them develop this project for me, this checklist pal for me. And if I would have had it developed here in the United States, I would have been paying $150 to $200 an hour. And I would have had a minimum fee of like $10,000 per month. So you just literally, you can do anything on the web and find anybody on the web and you connect with anybody on the web. And literally, I remember I had it, I think it was Pakistan. Literally, you just go to Upwork.com. You create an ad. It'll take you 5 minutes. It's totally free to use. And 100 people respond to you saying, yep, I can build that for you. I can build that for you. And really, that's it. That's how I got started. I didn't spend tens of thousands of dollars. I spent a few hundred bucks. And once it was up and running and I was able to use it and it was fun to use, a few people found it and they started using it. And then I decided to put a little bit more money into it. And that's kind of where I'm at today is it's going into its kind of its third version, which is now I'm finally at the point where I'm confident that I want to put a little bit more nice size amount of money and pay a software engineer to do it the right way and see if we can monetize this thing and generate revenue from it.
Yeah, I love it. And what right now is like your number one customer acquisition channel?
Probably easily Google. The thing, remember when I told you earlier that I was staying up till 4 a.m. every single night studying? I was doing my homework. I was figuring out how to get to the top of search engines. That's all I cared about. That's literally, you know, one of our biggest sellers at the Ocean Sea was SEO. And I got to be specific. I only do ethical SEO. I don't do any black hat stuff. I'm not into that stuff. If it's not ethical, I'm not doing it because it's not worth it. I don't want to get banned from Google. However smart we think we are, Google's 10 times smarter. And if you think you're getting over on them, it's just a matter of time. So I did my homework and I studied ethical SEO for a long time. And I figured out what it took to get to the top of page one. And I tested and I tested and I tested. Now, if you type in the word checklist, I think we come up number two or number three. If you type in checklist maker, we come up number one. And here's a cool, interesting aspect of that. Most people in the checklist app industry, most of my, I don't know if you call them competition or what, there are plenty of checklist apps out there. I consider myself a little bit different than a lot of those, but most of them went after the to-do list market. And here's why. Let's say, I don't remember the exact numbers, but let's say there's 1 million searches every month done for some type of list maker app, right? Well, 700,000 of them were for to-do list related keywords, right? Anything related to the word to-do list. Only like 30% or like 300,000 of them were related to checklist, right? So most people went after the to-do list market because it's huge, it's massive. I went after the checklist market. People who type in the word checklist, it's much smaller, but you know what? I cornered that entire market and nobody's above me in the search engines now. If you type in anything related to checklist or even list maker, I come up usually number one, maybe number two, but usually number one. And I guess it's lower hanging fruit if you want, but it's still a giant piece, massive piece of lower hanging fruit that I went after. And it's important to note, you know, you don't always have to go after the biggest market. You know, you can go after a smaller market. And really, that's, I think, a contribute to a lot of my success. Majority of people find Checkly organically. They type in checklist maker, list maker, free list app, free list maker, and boom, I come up number one. So that's been the brilliant thing, I think, about my site auditor in Checkly is that my cost per acquisition has always been zero. And I sold my site auditor well into the seven figures and with a cost per acquisition of zero. I don't pay a dime for customers. I do it all organically and I do it either through creating awesome content or optimizing the heck out of the websites. And I know that's, you know, that's, I think that's something that separates me from a lot of other companies out there. If you're going to start a checklist app, you're going to have to spend a couple of $1 million to get the amount of traffic, the amount of business that I get it for free just because I did my homework and the information's out there. If just Google ethical SEO, and you know what? I'll even give you a big tip. Go to My Site Auditor. Now, I'm not trying to sell you on My Site Auditor because My Site Auditor is for businesses or for agencies. But go to My Site Auditor, M-Y-S-I-T-E, Auditor, A-U-D-T-O, A-U-D-I-T-O-R, and go there and run a few free audits. Even if you're a business, even if you're just a startup person, if you're an entrepreneur, run a few audits. My secret recipe is in those audits. Run them, and that's how I get to page one. That's how my cost per acquisition is zero. And that's how I'm able to be super successful, in my opinion, without spending any money on marketing.
I love it. I was going to ask you like, well, how can we do this? You're like, there it is. I don't even own the company, but My Site Auditor. And as you were talking, I typed in checklist.com. So I'm up in Canada, in Toronto. You came up number two under checklist.
Nice. Nice.
The checklist manifesto comes up above it.
Yeah, I read that book. It's amazing. It's one of the best books ever written.
And then it's funny because checklist.com, which you would think would have like be able to get better SEO, is like number five. They're like way below you.
Yeah.
Like, that's impressive. So
the same thing with list maker, the same thing with checklist maker. I mean, I literally get 40 to 50,000 people per month finding the site and using it regularly.
Yeah. And it works whatever you're doing, because also you're number two and it's 138 million results.
Yeah. You can't buy that. You know, like, people are paying lots of money to be through PPC to be up on page one of Google like that. And I don't pay a dime. And literally my formula, no joke, is on my site auditor.
I love it. I love it. I'll link to that in the show notes for everyone and make sure you go and check that out. I know I will as soon as we're done here. But Marvin, this has been an absolute blast. I want to wrap up with one final question for you.
Sure.
It's this idea I'm working with calling the entrepreneurial gap, meaning that there's this gap I think that we live in as entrepreneurs, as dreamers. I feel like no matter what we accomplish personally or in business, we feel personally that our success is always in front of us. So in 1 month when you get to get funding, or in 6 months when you hit that next metric, that's when you'll see yourself as successful. Yet both you and I know that right before you hit that, you're going to set bigger, loftier goals into the future, which I agree we have to do, but we end up, I feel like we never, from the outside, we look super successful. From the inside, it's always, always, always in front of us. So I would love it right now, Marvin, if you could. You've accomplished a ton, more than most people will ever accomplish in business already. You're young and you have a lot in front of you. But I would love it right now if you could stop, turn around, and look behind you at the highs, the lows, the wins, and the losses. But tell me how you feel about this whole entrepreneurial journey up until today.
I feel really good about it. I think you made some really interesting points that, you know, one thing that scares me is that I don't know if I'll ever be satisfied or I'll ever be happy. You know, as soon as I hit a threshold that I was dying to hit 5 years ago, I'm already setting new goals and new thresholds to accomplish and achieve. So that's one thing that scares me. But just knowing that and understanding that and acknowledging that is really half the battle. I know that that exists. I know that I'm always setting higher goals for me in defining, redefining success for myself left or right. And that's important, because if I didn't know that, I mean, I could get lost or be unhappy, or, you know, there's a lot of entrepreneurs that even successful ones that suffer from depression because nothing's ever good enough. We're all perfectionists by nature, and there's no such thing as perfect. Perfection is just like, you know, it's a word and it has meaning to it, but it really doesn't exist, because everybody, even if you found perfection, really everybody's definition of perfection is different. So chasing perfection is something all entrepreneurs do. And that definitely does worry me, but not as much as it used to, because now I'm at least aware of it. Suffering from, like, you know, my journey here, you know, suffering from like anxiety and like things like that, just, you know, keeping me up, waking up at 4 a.m, stuff like that really sucked at times. I wouldn't change it for the world, but those are some of the hardships that you deal with, you know, to become successful. So my journey thus far has definitely been, I don't know, definitely been up or down, but I don't know, I guess I'm trying my hardest to find out where I'll be happy and one thing I did learn is that my success is definitely not determined by how much money I've made. I have enough money. I don't have to work for a pretty long time, but at the same time, I'm still working. I haven't really changed my lifestyle at all. So it's hard to believe for people that haven't, you know, been acquired or anything like that, or don't have a little bit of money in their pocket. It's hard to believe, but the biggest lesson I probably learned was that the biggest thing I was chasing is freedom and true freedom, the freedom to wake up in the morning and do whatever the hell you want to do. And that doesn't mean waking up in the morning and going to beach. If I want to work on this new cool website project that I have, I want to work on that. I don't want to work on anything else today. I want to do this. If I want to go meditate, if I want to go do yoga, if I want to go to the gym, if I want to work my butt off all day, if I want to go to the coffee shop, that's the biggest lesson I learned, is that what I've been chasing is pure freedom to do whatever I want to do and not do what I have to do. And there's a big difference between doing what you want to do and doing what you have to do. And I guess I'm almost there. I can do whatever I want to do for a while, but not forever. So I guess that's what I'm still chasing, is the ability to do whatever I want to do for the rest of my life. And I think I'm halfway there.
Awesome, man. I love it. I love it. I love it. All right. Checkly.com is the new business. Head over there. Check it out. Use Checklist. It's a new year, and get yourself organized and getting stuff done. Plus you can use the pro version if you want to brand it for your business. My site auditor, definitely check that out, because we just heard how to get your site to number one spot in Google. And that is the place to do it. On hacktheentrepreneur.com in the show notes, I'll link to both those for you.
a link to Upwork, which we talked about, Career Builder, we mentioned in passing. And then I'm going to try and track down this 1871 incubator. Maybe there's some other people in Chicago listening that could use that as well. So yeah, man, it's been a blast, Marvin. Thanks so much for sharing, man. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for being so open. And just keep doing what you're doing, man, because it's awesome to watch.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And I would tell your listeners to late January 2017, the new Checkly platform will be up and running. So the old one's up there right now. We're taking it from slow and ugly to fast and beautiful. So look out for it in late January 2017.
I love it. That's a great pitch. Take care, Marvin.
All right, take care. Thanks again.
That was a lot of fun. Marvin, thank you once again so much. That was a cool conversation. And I appreciate you sharing so much. And I love your determination, but also this methodical approach to building companies. Almost solely based around customer acquisition or getting customers via ethical SEO. And then we got to dive into that. You said that's how you did the first two companies, sold them off. And now you're starting a third one, which is obviously working because we've talked about the numbers. So it's really cool that you shared with us MySite Auditor, which you don't own anymore, but it's still a great place for people to start. But right after we stopped recording, Marvin shared with me SEOforBeginners.com. So I'm going to link to that as well in the show notes. But if you want to learn for free, completely for free, I don't think there's anything to catch you here to pay. Marvin has created a site called SEO for Beginners. And I believe there's 10 different video episodes right on there, starting right from scratch, going through optimization of your page, keyword research. And there's a lot of SEO sort of nonsense, if you want, out there in the world. But I want to learn from somebody who's built two businesses based on SEO ethically, selling both those companies, and now proved it right in front of us, this third one. So SEOforBeginners.com, that's a hidden treat that Marvin didn't get to share with you. So we've reached the point in the conversation now where I get to go back and I get to listen to it as a third person as you get to listen to it originally. And so I went back through and I listened to everything that Marvin said. And then I went back again and then I went back again. That third time going through the conversation, I don't know how I missed it those first two times, but that last time through, there was one thing that Marvin said that was so very, very, very clear to me. I honestly have no idea how I missed it, but it was that one thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
I'm a firm, huge, insanely big believer in take responsibility and no excuses. I live and die by those two phrases. Everybody on this planet, I believe, should take responsibility for themselves and never make excuses. And when I talk to other entrepreneurs, I know some people call them, entrepreneurs, but when I talk to other people who want to be entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs, I hear the same thing over and over again. They're not willing to make sacrifices. They're not willing to, when I first did my first entrepreneurial project, I had a regular full-time job. And after I got home from my job, I would stay up till 4 a.m. learning this new skill, this new trade to start my own company. Every day I would stay up till 4 a.m. I did whatever it takes. I got 2 or 3 hours of sleep. I just wanted it that bad.
And that's the hack. Marvin, Marvin, Marvin. It's the beginning of a new year. It's 2017. I think there's probably people out there that still need to hear this. I still need to hear this sometimes, even though I have a business and I don't have to go to a job I don't like to. And I have now for 7 or 8 years or something on the internet, whatever it's been. But this is huge. This, because I go on to explain after that I had to do the exact same thing. I spent 7 months working a full-time job, coming home, putting my child to bed, and working until 3 and 4 a.m. every single night. That's what it takes. And it's interesting because this goes back to, there's this guy, Eric Thomas, on YouTube. I'm going to link to the video in the show notes because it really stuck with me early on. He's called the hip hop motivator or something, but he does this one speech to this small classroom about how bad do you want it? And until you want it so bad that you're willing to give up hanging out with friends, that you're willing to give up watching your favorite shows, that you're willing to do anything it takes, until that point, you don't get to do what you want to do. And I really, 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 truly admire this, Marvin. And then I also really love this mantra that you live by. take responsibility and no excuses. So this is beyond even when you've started. This is like when you are running a company and something goes wrong, take responsibility for it. It's your company. Don't blame it on somebody else. Don't try and hide behind the fact that, oh, it wasn't you that did it, or you're just the CEO. Take responsibility. No excuses. Make things better. Learn. Grow from things. That's how we get better. That's how we become who we want to become. Next time you hear yourself or you hear anyone making an excuse or not taking responsibility for something that happened around them, think of Marvin. Marvin has built and sold two companies and is on his way to his third one. This isn't just nonsense talk. This is real. This is it. This is what it takes. It's hard sometimes. It's hard sometimes to take that responsibility, especially if it's not directly your fault. If you are in charge and somebody is under you or working with you on a team, be the one to take responsibility. If you work for somebody else right now and something goes wrong on your team and everybody tries to avoid it, take responsibility. Those are the kind of things that make you even move up within your company. People admire somebody who's willing to take responsibility and stop making excuses. Marvin, thank you so very, very, very much. HackTheEntrepreneur.com is the website. There's going to be some really good links there. You got to go check it out on Marvin Russell's episode. Checkly.com, CareerBuilder.com, my site auditor, as well as he talked about Upwork and also SEOForBeginners.com. Great place to start. And there's going to be an excellent video by Eric Thomas there that this is a good video. I go back to this a lot. I do. It's something that motivates me still. It's only about a 10 or 12 minute video. It's quite old now, but it's so good. And some days when you just need that kick in the ass, I find that it works really well to just kind of get you over the hump and keep you going. So I'll put that in the show notes for you and it'll be there. Once you're there, I mean, hey, I don't know. There's links to my Facebook, my Twitter, email, anything you want. Reach out. Say hi. I'd love to hear from you. That's it for now. It's been fun. This is good. 2017 is starting out strong. All right. Enough talk. Thanks for stopping by. You know that I totally appreciate it. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.